Good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday. Go Gina, Zoe says. Go Zoe. It's good to see you all. I'm sitting here with Jasmine and Danielle and Jamie and Bill and Debbie. And we went out to lunch together today, except Jamie didn't go. We had to leave her at home. but it was nice, all of us going out to lunch. Hey, Stan, I saw your message on Facebook, and I'll get back to you. We were, as I mentioned, out to lunch today, so, an afternoon lunch. So we got back a little bit ago, and then I was resting before my teaching. But we're here for Holy Spirit Guides, which is where I am reading from ReginaDawnAkers.com, sharing the messages that Holy Spirit shared with me in order to be helpful to me. And it's funny because just now, usually I come down and it only takes a second to get to the next message. And this time I had to go through about 3 months of postings on Regina Dawn Akers before I got to the next message from Holy Spirit. It looks like I went through a period of time when I was not receiving messages from Spirit. And it seems to me like I remember this happening a couple of times where I would have like 2 or 3 months of not receiving messages. And I would even think that I would not receive messages anymore, that I was done receiving messages. That was a part of my past. And then they would start up again. But right now it looks like we're in one of those places, one of those periods where I, for some reason, who knows why, was not receiving messages from Holy Spirit. So I had to sit here and click through several pages of just single quiet thoughts, which I'm not sharing, until I got to a message. But I did find a message. I have not read it, but I could tell that it looked like it was a discussion with Holy Spirit. So what I'm going to do is share a link with you. It looks like this is probably from August 2006. It's message number 428. And what I'm going to do first, just like I always enjoy doing, is I'm going to go into prayer. So if you all would join me, that would be great. Holy Spirit, I want to thank you for your guidance, of course. But right now I'm also feeling guided to thank you for the stillness. I mentioned that there were times when I seemed to receive a lot of message from you, a lot of coaching from you in the form of words. And then there have also been times when I don't seem to receive messages from you. In fact, now, and if we were to look at the calendar, it would be the longest of those times. I have not received messages from you in the form of a message. And since the Inner Ramana messages of March, nearly a year. And Holy Spirit, I want to say I'm grateful. I am grateful for the messages I have received. And I am grateful for the silent guidance. It seems that the messages have been very, very helpful. And of course, I would not trade one for anything other than what it was. And yet I can also feel how important it is that I am not dependent on these messages, that I learn to be instead in tune with this silence, which also guides perfectly. I don't know, Holy Spirit, if there will be another period of messages or not, but I feel right now instead to just be appreciative of all stages, all phases of awakening exactly as they are, because I know that they are all perfect. And I feel to let go of any thought that would ever say that somehow this awakening process should be different than it is. I know that all judgment is of the ego. All requests that anything be different is ego. I wish now, Holy Spirit, only to be aware of my gratitude. And when I notice that I am not, to take a moment to look at that thought and place that thought aside and return instead to the silence, to the gratitude, and to whatever gift you would give that is helpful in the moment. Thank you for everything. Amen. Okay, open my eyes and I see the Queen of Light. Queen of Light. I don't know who that is, but it's a nice name. All right. So I've given you all a link. A couple more people have shown up. So there's a link again. And it looks like this is called Observe Error Without Guilt. And there's some italics here, which looks like is probably me writing a little bit before the message, maybe describing the situation. I'm not certain what it says, but of course we're going to read it and find out. So here's what I wrote on this day in August of 2006. Lately, I have been experiencing the ability to witness my thoughts coming into experience. Some people might call this the manifestation of thought. The funny thing is, I seem to be experiencing it by seeing my wrong-minded thoughts coming back to bite me in the butt, so to speak. I am, however, very clearly seeing the thought in the mind and the result of the thought within experience. This morning, I caught myself accepting another wrong-minded thought and dreading the coming back of that thought in my future. I began to feel very guilty for the thought. So I went to Holy Spirit for help. Here is the conversation. Now this is a nice setup because it is true. It is true that I can see myself have a thought and then I can see it come into manifestation. And it looks like this was probably when that awareness first started. And what's interesting is although that awareness, I think, seems to come from awakening. Even as we're going through this process of awakening and we receive these gifts, these seemingly new abilities or new awarenesses, we can accept these gifts with Holy Spirit or we can accept these gifts with ego. And if I am beginning to become aware of the process of manifestation and that I'm experiencing it, I'm experiencing myself having a thought, believing a thought, and then experiencing the experience of that thought in whatever way it manifests. If I am having that awareness, but then I'm dreading a thought coming back, what that actually means is I'm having that awareness with ego. Not with spirit, but with ego. And I had a friend one time who was very, very afraid because he was very aware of the manifestation experience and he was very afraid of his own thoughts. It was like a pretty bad trap to be in. Cliff says, moi? I wasn't speaking of you, but maybe you too. if you ask the question, moi, then I would say, yeah, you. But I wasn't thinking of you. But sure, let's include Cliff. anyway, my friend was very, very afraid because very afraid of his own thoughts because he was so afraid of thinking something fearful and then having something fearful come into manifestation. So what this means is there is an awareness that is awakening, that is seeing somewhat what we are, but it isn't necessarily Holy Spirit that we're looking at that with. Because if we were looking at that with Holy Spirit, we would see it differently. So what's nice about what's happening here on reginadonacres.com in August 2006. This is before I had met my friend, by the way, the friend that was very afraid of his thoughts. But it looks like I was beginning to fall into that same trap. I was beginning to fear my thoughts or feel guilty for my thoughts because I was becoming aware of the fact that I would have a thought, believe a thought, and then it was manifest in experience. And I was looking at this power with ego. What's nice about what I did is I recognized by the way I was feeling that I was looking at it with ego. And I took it and I went to Holy Spirit. And this, of course, is something that we can all do. You know, we can recognize when we're looking at something with ego. We can recognize if we're looking at something with fear or looking at something with guilt. And we can ask Holy Spirit, how should I see this? Rather than just staying with that ego perspective. Because the ego perspective is never correct and it's never helpful. So I'm grateful that I knew enough when this started happening to me, this fear of manifestation, or what we called it with my friend was fear of miscreation. When this fear of manifestation was starting to show up in my mind as I was becoming aware of manifestation, I'm grateful that I knew to quickly go to Holy Spirit with it, because what I don't really recall is this phase lasting long with me. It seemed to have been a very short phase for me, this phase of fear or guilt about manifestation. And I'm sure it was a short phase because I did not stay in the position of looking at it with ego. I went to Holy Spirit and asked for help. So let's look at the question that I asked Holy Spirit that day. Holy Spirit, I need your help. I seem to have accepted the thought of guilt within my mind. This thought comes from the belief in separation. I see a me and a her, and I don't remember who the her was. I don't remember what the story was at that time. I see a me and a her, a right and wrong. Based on everything you have shown me, I know this guilt is misperception. Will you please help me to see differently? And here's the Holy Spirit's answer. You are always innocent. You are always innocent because nothing in truth is changed by that which you choose to imagine. Nothing in truth is changed by that which you choose to imagine. Let go of your belief in guilt and return your mind to me that you may learn the lesson you are asking to learn. You have asked to learn that the world is illusion, and this is the lesson you are learning now. You are seeing the connection between the thoughts you allow yourself to believe and the circumstances that seem to be within your experience. Seeing this connection is an answer to your own prayer, because you are ready to learn this lesson. The learning seems painful to you because you see yourself accepting mistaken thoughts and then experiencing the results of having accepted mistaken thought. And then you judge yourself for this perceived mistake. Let go of your judgment. Step back from the personal sense of responsibility for the thoughts and simply observe the phenomena you have asked to witness. You will learn the lesson best from a detached perspective, because any seeming personal perspective involves the confusion of the ego. Remember, separation does not exist. Oneness is all that is. You have asked to see oneness. Now step back and observe that which you have asked to see. You are ready to learn this lesson. So the shift of mind that Holy Spirit gave me, gifted to me, was what I'm going to call the perspective of learning. The perspective of learning. As I was beginning to see my thoughts and then see the manifestation of my thoughts, I forgot my purpose. I forgot that everything I was going through was for the purpose of awakening, for the purpose of remembering truth, for the purpose of seeing illusion and letting it go. And instead, I just began to feel guilty for having a thought and then watching the manifestation of it. And what Holy Spirit is doing to help me is just taking me back into the perspective of learning, reminding me of my purpose, saying, you know, you wanted to learn. The truth is true and the world is illusion. And what's happening now is you're beginning to observe how illusion is made. This is an important part of what you want to learn. So instead of feeling guilty for what you are seeing, you just want to see it and say, ah, I see. You know, just, ah, I see. I see how the world is made. I see how illusion is made. I see how that works, just from the perspective of learning. And this is very helpful to me. I don't know how it is for you, but I can tell you that it's very helpful for me. I was born into this lifetime, at least, with what I'm going to call the mind of a teacher. I remember very young teaching, you know, teaching my friends what we were learning in school, if they didn't understand it, helping to teach it to them in a way where they would understand. I've always been teaching. So for me, teaching learning is a detached perspective. It's not as personal. I don't know how to explain what I'm feeling, but it's a detached perspective that has the purpose of taking me from where I am to a new way of seeing. And I understand that in the teaching learning process, you have experiences that are called eye-opening experiences. And the purpose of these eye-opening experiences is to shift you, just like a miracle, to shift you from one way of seeing to another way of seeing. So when Holy Spirit came to me and asked me to look at this new awareness that I had from that learning perspective, that remembrance of my purpose, then what that helped me to do is it did help me to step back. Hello, Jasmine. It did help me to step back in a way where I understood that what was happening is that I was shifting. I understood, instead of having a feeling of guilt for having thoughts and then bringing those thoughts into manifestation and being the cause of something horrible, which is the attitude I had before, instead of that, it shifted my perspective to, ah, so this is how the world is made, and the reason I need to see this is so that I can change, so that I can learn not to accept these thoughts. I don't know, it just depersonalized it for me. So it was very helpful, and it took me out of that place of being afraid of my thoughts or feeling guilty for my thoughts to a place of being willing to watch this process of thought manifestation. As long as I needed to watch the process of thought manifestation in order to build up the willingness to start not accepting the thoughts anymore. So it just became a part of a natural learning process for me, and I became very grateful for it because I saw the direction it was going, and I let go of the guilt or the fear of the manifestation for the thoughts that I was believing. It was just very helpful for me. Let's see. I don't know who this Theo is. I see a Theo saying, I guess you can teach NTI here. Just don't teach anything about the course, please. It's not allowed in ACIM Gather. And, of course, I'm actually not teaching NTI right now, Theo. I am teaching from the personal messages on ReginaDonAkers.com. But I do want to say that I don't see any difference. I don't see any difference between A Course in Miracles, NTI, these personal messages, or anything else that Holy Spirit would send us in order to be helpful to awakening. I think it would be an error for us to make ACIM special, as if A Course in Miracles was the only thing that was helpful. If we take A Course in Miracles as the only thing that is helpful, we are then blocking out anything else that Holy Spirit would want to give us. It's interesting because it's true, Theo, it is not my purpose to be an expert at A Course in Miracles. Or it is not my purpose to be only Course in Miracles minded. It is my purpose to awaken. It is my purpose to see only love. And I am willing to accept anything and everything that Holy Spirit would give me in order to be helpful. So it is true, I'm not talking about A Course in Miracles right now, but I don't believe that's the true purpose of ACIM Gather, even though that is the name of the room. The true purpose of the room is awakening. So there we go. And what I'm going to do now, Theo, is I'm going to go to the next message on ReginaDonAkers.com that was helpful. Unless anybody has any questions about this particular message first, what I'm going to do is just let go of the mic for a second and see if anybody has any questions about this last message, this fear of manifestation, this guilt around seeing my thoughts come into manifestation, and how Holy Spirit helped me. And if not, then we'll move on. Okay, Sharon, I'm passing the mic over to you.
Hi, Regina. I don't get a chance to talk to you too much, and I love you. I mean, I know you're not special. You're me. Today, I've been listening, doing some, inner work and listening to you, and I had an experience today where I fell asleep and I had a dream about my ex-husband, and I was asking him why he left. It was just so real. And the Holy Spirit, like, I woke up and I had this beautiful connection. Holy Spirit said, Sharon, this is just a dream you're in. He's in your mind. And I could see that. I could see that. So I'm just so excited when you're here. I mean, I don't want to treat anyone better than anyone else because I love everybody in this room. It's just sometimes I think, for me, the Spirit's like attracting some other teaching, and so I don't see a difference in Eckhart Tolle's book, Miracles, because it's all experiential. These are tools. But I just had to tell you that, I mean, I'm so grateful for you. You don't know. I mean, sometimes when I'm having a bad day or something, it's not really a day, a moment, I'll go on your site, and it's just remarkable, you know, how I can get right back in spirit. And I just want to thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. Yeah, I am aware of how you feel, and I appreciate it. And, you know, it's interesting because as someone who chooses to share, actually, I guess I do choose to share, but as I said that, I wanted to take that back. because I was actually asked to share. I think many of you probably know that very first day when I had that vision, being in the cave and passing out the candles. Then after that vision, I didn't know what that vision meant, and I went to the keyboard and I asked Spirit, I said, if you have something to say, just say it to me in a way that I can understand. And I began typing without thinking. And in fact, it was the experience of reading the words on the computer screen rather than in my mind. And that's when I typed that message where Holy Spirit asked me to begin to write with it. And Holy Spirit asked me to write with it, told me I could. In fact, I was doing it in that moment. And then told me to teach what I write. And the very next morning is when the very first message from Holy Spirit came. And I shared that through David Hoffmeister at the time. That was the only way I knew to share it. But I knew that I was to share everything that I receive. And so from the very beginning, unless I really felt like I received a specific prompt not to share, I've always shared everything that I've been given, and it just feels like it's my job. It feels like it's a part of what I'm supposed to do. It's how I awaken. But as someone who does that, as someone who shares, you know, it's interesting because I do have the experience of people making me special. Not everyone, but I have that experience. And it's interesting because people make me special in a couple of ways. I can be especially good, or I can be especially bad. And used to, I still experienced that because there was still specialness in my own mind. So if it was it seemed to be great. When someone thought I was especially good, there was a joy in that. I love that. And then it seemed to really hurt when I was especially bad. I really didn't like that at all. And of course, one of the processes that Holy Spirit took me through was seeing that those two were no different and seeing that they were both false. And now I would say my experience now is just one of being grateful. Even if someone seems to make me especially good, I do not feel that and I do not join them in that. And yet I'm madly in love with them. But also if someone seems to make me especially bad, I do not see that. I do not join them in that, and I'm madly in love with them. It's a very nice place to be. I'm grateful for everyone who is grateful for the teachings, because I understand your gratitude. I'm grateful. I share that gratitude. And for the ones who seem not to be grateful, I'm okay with that too. That just has no effect whatsoever on my love or my faith or my commitment. So thank you, Sharon, for sharing your message. Thank you, Sharon, for sharing. and I share your gratitude for everything that Holy Spirit has given me and everything that Holy Spirit has given Eckhart Tolle and Helen Schuckman and everyone else, because it has been for all of us. And anything that comes to us to be helpful is there to be helpful. And I'm really grateful for all of it. All right, so I'm going to close this last message. And we're going to go to a new thing I found. I'm not quite sure what it is. It was the next thing I found. It looks like it's probably going to be in September of 2006. We'll see what the heck it is. Let's see. Usually, it looks like this message is called In the Last Couple of Weeks, and it doesn't look like a message from Holy Spirit. It looks like Regina talking. So that's why I say we'll see what it is. In the Last Couple of Weeks is what it's called, and I've given you all the link. It's either from the end of August to the beginning of September 2006. I notice Zoe is saying, I love listening to your teaching, Sharon. Okay, so let me just read then whatever it is that I have here. A couple of weeks ago, I felt clear guidance to stop posting. I didn't know how long I would go without posting. I only knew I was receiving guidance to stop, so I stopped. It seems I needed some time to look at my own filters so I could see them more clearly and let go of them. This time away was a direct result of a prayer in the last paragraph of my last post. In that post, I wrote, "Above all else, I want to see. And in order to see, I am willing to discover and let go of the filters that I currently believe, which prevent me from seeing truly. Knowing that I am ignorant of the filters that block my vision, I realize that I need help to discover them. I give this desire to the Holy Spirit and ask for His help now. Let me be led to discover my own blocks to love, that I may joyously and gratefully let them go. Amen." And then I wrote, "We ask and we receive. It's that simple." And and it just hit me. Even this is the process of the manifestation of thought, right? Before the message we were looking at before, I was having some thought. I still don't remember the story. I don't remember who the her was in the story. I don't remember anything about it. But I was having some thought about some her. And then there was this guilt about having the thought, because what was happening is I was noticing the manifestation of my own thoughts. And there was this guilt. And Holy Spirit, of course, as you know, help me to step back from that by helping me to remember my purpose. I'm learning that the world is not real. I'm learning that the world just comes from thought. And this is an important part of my learning. But here we go. It looks like we have another example of manifestation. Notice I pray a prayer. I pray a prayer asking with my heart to find the blocks to love's presence in me. And then an experience is delivered that helps me to find that. Again, it's manifestation. What we are learning is that we are what we are. What we are learning is that our experience comes from us. Whether it's an experience of suffering in the world, or whether it's an experience of awakening, our experience comes from us because we are what we are. Our experience can only come from us. So it's a pretty important lesson. So again, I ask, let me discover my own blocks to love, that I may joyously and gratefully let them go. And then I've written, we ask and we receive. It's that simple. So as I continue reading what I wrote that day, now I seem to be in a different place. It seems that I noticed filters that could be called desires. I had a desire to teach, a desire to publish the interpretations. At this time, what was still being written was the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, but I used to just call it the New Testament interpretations before it had a title. So I was seeing a desire to publish the interpretations, a desire to be right, specific desires for specific outcomes in specific situations. All desires had to be seen and let go so that I could hold to the singular desire for God, or what I would call is the desire for awakening. I now hold in my heart that I want only to know thyself, and I give all else to the Holy Spirit, which leads me through my one true desire. It's a state of watching, trusting, and being willing. So again, you know, as I mentioned just before we went into this message, I was guided back in November of 2004 to start writing with Holy Spirit and to start sharing what I write, teaching what I write specifically is what I was asked to do, to teach what I write. And that was very pure guidance. It came from a very pure place, and I followed it in purity. But what we can see started to happen is, for lack of better words, and I don't mean it judgmentally, but some impurity began to get into this purpose of writing, teaching, sharing. I began to find a desire in my mind to post. I talked about that just a little bit ago when I said that specialness was in my mind. So I would post and then look to see what people had to say about my post. You know, looking for that comment. I wanted to be glorified. I went through a phase of wanting to be glorified. So I wanted to post. I wanted to teach. I wanted to publish. And it's interesting that before these desires became apparent, A, I prayed a prayer, a sincere, pure prayer that said, help me to discover the obstacles to love's presence that are in my mind. And then two, without knowing why, I was guided to stop posting. And what's interesting is even though I had the desire at that time that wasn't yet recognized, the desire to post, the desire to be seen, I did follow the guidance and stop posting. And so during this period then of not posting, what happened is I began to notice this desire. And I don't remember this specifically, but I'm going to guess that I probably noticed through the guidance of not posting how much I wanted to post. You know, when Spirit said, okay, don't do this for a time, what I saw in me was a strong wanting to do it anyway. And that would have made me aware then of the desire that I didn't see. So I became aware of my desire then to post, my desire to teach, my desire to publish, my desire to be right. You know how sometimes we get into those discussions on the peace of God, you know, who's right, you know, how to interpret this, and A Course in Miracles, what does this really mean? You know, I wanted to present my perspective of what something meant, and I wanted to be right. I was noticing all of this through the process of not posting, through the process of not participating in it. I began to see how much I, the little I, wanted to do all of that. So I said, now I seem to be in a different place. It seems that I notice filters that could be called desires. I had a desire to teach, a desire to publish the interpretations, a desire to be right, specific desires for specific outcomes in specific situations. All desires had to be seen and let go so that I could hold to the singular desire for God. I now hold in my heart that I want only to know thyself, and I give all else to the Holy Spirit. I give all else to the Holy Spirit, which would explain why the guidance not to post went away, and I began to be guided to post again, because my mind became right again. I began to not care whether I posted or not posted, taught or not taught, published or not published. I began to only want to awaken. And all of the rest of that stuff was incidental and totally up to Holy Spirit, not important to me at all. I now hold in my heart that I want only to know thyself, and I give all else to the Holy Spirit, which leads me through my one true desire. It's a state of watching, trusting, and being willing. It reminds me also a little bit about yesterday's single quiet prayer. I don't have it with me right now, but yesterday's, well, I could get it with me in just a second. Where's my notebook? Does anybody see my spiral notebook? Got it? I don't see it. Oh, yep, I got it. Here we go. Let me read yesterday's single quiet prayer. Yesterday's single quiet prayer was, my heart does know what it wants. Let me surrender to you, my Holy Spirit, as a loving slave surrenders to its master. Let me not think for myself about either problem or solution. Let me only surrender in blissful trust of my master's all-knowing ways. Let me be happy to serve, and let me be happy to wait when the next order of service has not yet been given. As I surrender to you, I let go of ego. Thank you for the gift of surrender. Amen. But what I'm specifically reminded of right now is the second to last paragraph in this single quiet prayer, which says, let me be happy to serve. And it also says, let me be happy to wait when the next order of service has not yet been given. It's funny because one of the most frequent questions I get asked when I travel and do gatherings or conferences is actually a question I don't specifically know the answer to, but it is like the most frequent question I get asked. People ask me why, after Eckhart Tolle was awakened, did he not receive any guidance? Why did he just sit on a park bench for, I don't know, I've heard different amounts of time, 2 years or whatever, and do nothing? And first of all, I haven't even directly read or heard Eckhart Tolle talk about that particular phase of his life, so I have no direct experience at all. It's just that people keep asking me that question. You know, why, when he was awakened, did he do nothing? That's very upsetting to people. I can tell by the way they ask the question. It's very upsetting to the ego that Eckhart Tolle could be awake and do nothing. But notice what this particular prayer says. It says, let me be happy to serve, and let me be happy to wait when the next order of service has not yet been given. You see how it's the ego that wants to do? It's the ego that wants to do. It's the awakened part of our mind that is absolutely willing to do and just as willing to not do. Doing and not doing become the same. And so again, what I said in this last paragraph is I now hold in my heart that I want only to know thyself, and I give all else to the Holy Spirit, which leads me through my one desire. It is a state of watching, trusting, and being willing, which means I am willing to post, and I am willing to not post. I am willing to teach, and I am willing to not teach. I am willing to publish, and I am willing to not publish. Do you see how that works? Okay, so this continues. I found these words from the Holy Spirit's interpretation. Oh, here we go, Theo. Are you still here? I'm teaching NTI now. Here we go. We can get it all in today. Okay, I found these words from the Holy Spirit's interpretation of Matthew chapter 18 to be helpful and motivating during this time away. I have told you before not to think for yourself, and I have asked you to lay yourself aside. It is this you must practice. because it is this you must do. One cannot maintain self-identity and self-control and be healed of self. Yet one must be healed of self if one is to know the oneness of heaven as I am. And that's a quote from Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 18. So in the writing then I continue, I realized that I still had desire to control. Instead of fully letting go and letting the Holy Spirit lead, I wanted to do things that would assist circumstances in working out in the way I wanted them to. You hear that? I know you guys all have known this in yourselves. We're very much alike. I wanted to do things that would assist circumstances in working out in the way I wanted them to. This all had to be let go. Oh, here we go, Theo. Now we're going to read from A Course in Miracles. See how it all fits together. A really helpful line from A Course in Miracles is, I need do nothing. This line was echoed to me in many ways during my 2 weeks away. I couldn't have avoided that message if I tried, but I realize it came to me as strongly as it did through my own willingness. It could not have come to me in any other way. I also found myself really looking at the belief that the world is real and that I could be victim to it. I realized that to trust this belief is not to trust the Holy Spirit. So to trust this belief is disalignment with my purpose. I chose to close my eyes and let out a deep breath. With it, I let go of the belief that the world is real and accepted that it is a reflection of my thoughts, which of course is the lesson we saw me learning in the previous message, right? That the world is not real. It is a reflection of my thoughts. Since then, I have seen everything differently. Everything is truly my lesson, because everything I see and experience comes from my mind. There is no one to judge. There are only my thoughts being reflected back to me, and they are reflected back to me so that I can let them go, because that is the purpose I have chosen. I felt guided to watch the movie Little Buddha, which was very helpful. It was a reminder that everything is illusion, and this must be accepted fully if the illusion is to be let go. The scene within the movie where Prince Siddhartha faces the fury and trickery of the ego by calmly observing it became very helpful to me when I went through my own ego attack a few days later. Prince Siddhartha looked directly into the face of the ego and said, "You are pure illusion. You do not exist." That, my friends, is the bottom line that we must accept. As long as we believe the world is real, we cannot accept that the ego is pure illusion. And now it looks like what I'm going to do is going to talking about my ego attack. I've had several ego attacks, more than one could count, but this was one of the king attacks, the king of kings. This may have been the greatest ego attack that I've experienced in this lifetime. It really is the king of ego attacks. So here we go. My ego attack began while I was visiting Lisa. At the time, she was called Lisa Stern. Now she has returned to her maiden name, and she is Lisa Fair. She's with the Messengers of Peace, but at this time she wasn't. And Peter Piffin, which I know you guys all know. He visits us regularly here at ACIM Gather. And during this time, Lisa and Peter were together. They were a couple. So my ego attack began while I was visiting Lisa and Peter in Pennsylvania. My friend, Herb, was also there. Although there were signs that an ego attack was creeping in, I did not notice them at first. I only noticed that I was not feeling well and that I felt confused. So that would have been the first sign, by the way. I'm sure you guys know that. I was not at peace. I was not happy. I did not feel well. I think I remember having a headache. And I felt confusion in my mind. I felt confused. So those were the first signs of this attack. Then Herb told me a story. He told me that he and Lisa had been taking a walk in Lisa's neighborhood, and a neighbor was throwing a party. He and Lisa were happy and feeling love towards everyone. They sat on a park bench near the party and waved joyously to everyone who entered the party. As Herb told this story, I noticed what seemed like fireworks of fear within me. If the feeling could be put into words, it would be this. Herb and Lisa have lost their minds. If you don't stop right now, you're going to lose your mind too. You're about to walk away from sanity. Run from the spiritual path. Run. Run. Okay, now I definitely remember this. Okay, I definitely remember this. And I can see some of you guys do because you're joining me in the comments already. But Lisa at this time lived just down the street from a man who was wealthy enough to have his own nine-hole golf course. It was basically where one's yard would be, except obviously it was a very big yard, and it was a very nice nine-hole golf course. And he was very generous in that he let everyone in the neighborhood use it. It wasn't fenced off or anything like that. And one thing we used to always do when we visited Lisa is we would go take walks on this golf course. I'm not a golfer, but I would take walks. There's almost never anyone golfing on it. You know, it was just a one-man golf course. But I would go and take walks. So what happened was Lisa and Herb were at this golf course. It looks like sitting on one of the park benches at the golf course. And the man's very large home is there as well. And he was having a party. And all these people are walking into the party, and as they're walking in, you know, Herb and Lisa are waving to everyone, just saying, hey, hey, how are you? You know, being happy, you know, being, and if you know Herb and Lisa, you know how happy they can be. They can be pretty damn happy. So they're being happy, and they're waving all these people. Now, when Herb is telling me this, what happens is I am looking at this purely from ego's perspective. And ego is telling me that Herb and Lisa were just crazy. A popular term that we use in this course community is bliss ninnies. Okay? They're just like bliss ninnied out. And here are normal, sane people walking into this party witnessing how damn crazy they are. And, you know, from my perspective, ego perspective at the time, everyone was judging them. Everyone knew they were crazy. They were just, you know, loco. And then ego starts telling me in my mind, if you don't stop, I mean, literally the thought that in my mind was, it was like, it's been okay that you've played this spiritual game for the last couple of years, but you're about to go too far, baby. If you don't stop, you're going to end up just like them. And just like them meant crazy, you know, just completely out of touch with the world, with the world in that case being reality, completely out of touch with reality. And literally the ego was telling me, stop. Now, interestingly enough, guys, okay, just pure curiosity, right before going to Lisa and Peter's, I had just finished typing, writing with Holy Spirit and typing up the book of Jude. The next book to be done was Revelation, and that would be the end of receiving the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. So just before I'm about to finish this book, this huge ego attack comes on, telling me to stop, quit, go back, you're going to be crazy, you're losing touch with the real world, stop. And what happened after this, I know some of you have heard this story before, and I don't think it's all written down here, but what happened after this, is that this got very loud. In fact, it kept me up all night long. Some of you have probably heard the story about in the nighttime I heard this noise, this loud banging noise. And Herb was a personal friend of mine. Lisa and Peter are too, but at that time I didn't know Lisa and Peter as well. Herb was a personal friend of mine that I had just spent some time with in Colorado 2 weeks earlier. We were on vacation in Colorado, and now I was seeing him here, and now here he was, again, remember I'm talking from the ego's perspective, but here he was crazy, and in the nighttime, my mind starts telling me that Lisa and Peter did this to him. Right? Lisa and Peter somehow did this to him, and there was this thought that I heard this noise, and literally, I'm sorry, you guys, I apologize for how insane this is. It's even embarrassing to say it, but I truly believed at the time, which just shows you just how far gone my mind was. I heard this banging noise in the nighttime, and I thought that Lisa and Peter had Herb locked in a cage in the basement, okay? And I was terrified. Now, Cliff is saying we've all been there, Regina, which thank you, Cliff, for being so sweet. But I in this lifetime have not been that crazy. But that night I was, and I was believing my thoughts. And I was laying there terrified, 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 terrified. So let me continue with the reading here. Oh, by the way, you want to know what the noise was in the basement? It turns out there was, Lisa and Peter did have someone locked in the basement. It was the dog. His name is Buddha, by the way. They have Buddha locked in the basement because Buddha can bite. Buddha was not always nice. So they literally had Buddha locked in the basement because they love me and they did not want their dog to bite me. And Buddha was the one hitting on the door, wanting out. So there was somebody locked in the basement. In fact, Buddha was locked in the basement, but not Herb. Jasmine sitting there going, "You're weird." And it's true, I was weird that night. I was. Anyway, so. Okay, anyway, so as I continue reading here, I realize now that Holy Spirit led Herb to tell me that story at that time, just as Holy Spirit led me to watch Little Buddha a few days earlier. You see, I'm from Kansas, and I live in rural North Carolina now. Of course, that was in August of 2006. Waving at strangers is not an insane act to me. It is natural. I wave at everyone I pass, and they wave back. When I saw this outrageous fear reaction to this specific story, I knew it didn't make sense. That's when I realized that I was feeling the fear of love, and I decided right then to do what Prince Siddhartha had done. I would observe the attack without believing it. So what happened then is, as Herb was telling me this story, and I had this huge fear reaction, to this idea of crazy Herb and Lisa waving to all of these sane people, making it obviously clear how insane they were to sane people. You know, as I saw all this in my mind, something else in my mind said, "But you wave to people all of the time." And of course, we know what that something else was, don't we? That was Holy Spirit. "But you wave to people all of the time." And when I heard that, I knew that my perspective, the way I was looking at Peter and Lisa and Herb, was crazy. I mean, you know, my mind was telling me they were crazy and that I needed to run before I also lost my sanity. But somehow this thought, "But you wave to people all of the time," told me, wait a minute, they're not crazy. I'm crazy. I'm the one that's crazy right now. And that's when I realized the huge hold that ego had on my mind. And I remembered the movie that I'd seen just a few days before. And I remembered how Prince Siddhartha sat under the tree watching all of the craziness in his mind. And I realized I needed to do the same thing. I didn't need to be afraid of the ego attack. I didn't need to try to make the ego attack stop. But I needed to just watch it like he did. So, what happened at this point is that Herb and I were actually on our way to Boston. We were going up to do a couple of gatherings up in the Boston area, and I was really, really not feeling well from this ego attack, as you can imagine. I hadn't slept all night long because I thought Herb was locked in the basement. You know, I was really not feeling well at all, so I couldn't drive, so I asked Herb to drive. And while Herb was driving, I sat in the passenger seat and watched everything the ego had to say in my mind. And it was completely riled up, completely, completely riled up. So let's go back to reading. I said the actual attack lasted about 3 to 4 hours. And I mean from this point of recognizing it was an attack. It, obviously the attack lasted longer, but from the point of recognizing it was an attack and then just watching it, it was still an additional half day. I'll say it was an additional half day after I realized what was happening. So the actual attack lasted about 3 to 4 hours. It felt like rapid fire of thoughts within the mind. I observe the thoughts from a place of patience. And I want to highlight that. That was my attitude. My attitude was one of patience. I did not resist them, the thoughts, and I did not believe them either. I just watched, knowing that this too will pass. And Barb has written good movie. I'm guessing she's talking about the Prince Siddhartha movie, Little Buddha, but I would say that's almost like the attitude I had in the mind, like I was just watching a movie. I don't know if I would call it a good movie, but watching a movie. I was so detached from my thoughts, I can't even begin to describe how detached I was. I just sat back within myself, and I watched everything the ego was saying, and it was rapid fire. It was rapid fire. Let's go ahead and continue reading. It says, the ego attacks seemed to begin with the theme that I was going insane. It told me that it was okay that I had played around with spirituality for the last couple of years, but now I was beginning to step into insanity. That is, I'm about to lose all sense of reality, and unless I want to be lost forever, I better run, run, run now. I just watched the thoughts and felt the feelings as I trusted that none of it was true, and this too will pass. After that attack did not seem to work, because it is true that, again, the ego was going on and on and on with the Lisa, Peter, and Herb are crazy, and you're going to be crazy too if you don't stop. It went on and on and on with that. But as I was no longer believing that, as I was just watching that, the ego literally changed its attack. And in fact, we see the same thing happen in the Prince Siddhartha movie, Little Buddha. We see first Buddha is tempted by the five desires. When he doesn't fall for that, then Maya tries to scare him with, you know, all of the thoughts of war and attack and the world is real and you're a body. And when that doesn't work, then Maya comes up with a third angle of attack, which is the final angle of attack. So it's interesting how the ego can just change the attack. If we don't buy one story, the ego is absolutely willing to just throw another story at us and see if we'll fall for that. And this was the experience I had that day. After that attack did not seem to work, the ego switched gears. I was told that if I was going to move forward with the spiritual path, and you guys ready for this? If you're going to do this anyway, because again, remember, it kept trying to tell me to stop, stop, don't do this. And I'm not listening. So now the ego switches gears. Okay, well, if you're going to do this anyway, then you could be a great spiritual teacher. See how the ego changed from stop, stop, you're going crazy, to you could be a great spiritual teacher. The ego looked right at me and told me that I have what it takes to be great. And if you're looking at the message, you'll notice I typed the word great in all caps, because that was absolutely the next angle. It went on and on and on telling me how great I could be. How I had all of the skills, I had, you know, just everything it took to really be a great spiritual teacher. Again, I just watched the thoughts. I remembered my one true desire, which is to know thyself, or in the language of A Course in Miracles, I remembered that my only purpose is to accept the atonement for myself. The ego came back and said, okay, and of course I make this sound like it only happened for a minute, but actually the ego had a couple angles of you will be a star, as Zoe is saying. It had a couple hours of you will be a star, a couple angles of you will be a star, and it just kept doing that, but I just kept watching it. So then when I didn't fall for that, so now we have two things I didn't fall for, the ego came back and said, if you can't be special, why do it? And that thought made me laugh, literally. I remember exactly where we were on the highway when the ego said to me, if you can't be special, why do it? I just started laughing. And I, as I wrote here, I don't know if I actually laughed out loud, but my memory is that I did. But I guess this was closer to time, so maybe I don't know. But I laughed as if I laughed out loud, whether I laughed out loud or not. I wasn't feeling really well, so it may not have came out as a laugh. That's probably true. I was feeling pretty beat up at the time, so it could be that on the outside, like if you had asked Herb, did Gina laugh, he might say, oh no, she looked terrible. because I was pretty beat up. So maybe I didn't laugh outside. But it was a laugh. I saw that this thought was nothing but an ego trick to distract me from my true purpose. I did not buy into it, and the ego attack seemed to end shortly after that. And by that I mean it totally died. Totally died. It was just faded, 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 and died. So my experience was three different angles. The first angle being, stop. You're losing all touch with reality. You're going to be a complete bliss ninny. Everybody's going to know you're crazy. Stop. The second angle being, you can be the best. You can be the best spiritual teacher there is. You can be great. You can have lots of followers. Everyone will listen to you. Everyone will love you. And then the third one, if you're not going to be special, why do it? And that one just cracked me up. I mean, it just cracked me up. And once I laughed, remember we're told about the tiny mad idea, that a tiny mad idea came into the mind of the Son of God, at which he remembered not to laugh, which means we forgot to laugh. When I laughed, that was the beginning of the end of this ego attack, when it just cracked me up. So, if we continue reading. I still felt what one might call a hangover for the rest of the day, and that would be a hangover from the ego attack. Like I said, I got pretty beat up by this ego, so I didn't go into complete peace. There was a beat up feeling. I never returned completely to clarity that day. At a dinner party that evening, someone asked me to share a specific insight that I'd had a few months earlier, and I couldn't feel that level of clarity and had to say no to the request. But the next morning, I woke up and felt clarity again, and it was such a welcome feeling. I have been in a different place ever since. I am in a place of allowing and a place of desiring only that which the Holy Spirit would give, because I know that it is given to lead me to my one true desire, which is to know the self, know thyself. I believe all of this was preparation for writing the interpretation of Revelation. Funny, I had even let go of the desire to finish the interpretations. I was willing to lay it completely aside. And this is, of course, a true story. They're all true stories. This is an absolutely true story. As I looked at all of this idea about being special, the greatest teacher that ever lived, as I looked at all of this, I just let go of everything. I mean, I had been spending the last 12 months listening to and writing down the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. I had done Matthew through Jude. All that was left was Revelation, and I was 100% willing not to ever finish it. I was willing to absolutely put it aside. I was willing to be grateful for what had been given and stop there. And I do think that I had to reach that point of gratitude in order to finish. I couldn't have finished with a desire to write the book and have it published, because that's not the way this book was to be born. Being willing not to do it is what birthed the end of it. Being absolutely willing not to do it is what birthed the end of it. So, I believe all of this was preparation for writing the interpretation of Revelation. Funny. I had even let go of the desire to finish the interpretations. I was willing to lay it completely aside. But as I drove my daughter to school on the first day of school after returning from this trip, a street sign I had never noticed before seemed to jump out of the scenery into my awareness. The name of that street was Jude. Jude was the last book of the New Testament that I had written down the interpretation for, and this would have been a couple weeks earlier. I took this as a prompt to go home and read the interpretation of Jude. I read and meditated on Jude, and then it seemed perfectly natural to pick up the Bible and go to Revelation. And absolutely, that was the day that the interpretation of Revelation began to come. I wrote, there are many more details in this two-week story, but they would only reinforce what has been shared here. The moral of the story is this: remain fully focused on my one true desire. Let go of all distractions. Remember, I need do nothing. Everything is led by the Holy Spirit. My only responsibility is to accept the atonement for myself. The world is not real. It is only a reflection of my mind. Its only purpose is healing. Use it for that one purpose and trust the Holy Spirit in all things. I will be led perfectly by remaining focused on my one true purpose. I need give thought to nothing else. Seek ye first the kingdom, and all else will be added to you for the sole purpose of awakening. So there's the story of how I let go of the idea of specialness. And how I let go of the idea of quitting. And also, I think what's really important about this story is how I learned through a movie to experience the greatest ego attack that ever came over me. You know, it's funny how some of the things we were talking about just before we came into this, but, you know, I was responding to my friend Theo here, Theo 13, and I was commenting how I want to accept everything that's helpful. A Course in Miracles, the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. You know, Sharon brought Eckhart Tolle's name into the mix. And now I want to add a movie that somebody made up and put on the screen was extremely helpful to me. So Holy Spirit can reach us in a lot of ways. And if we want to awaken, we simply want to be open to all of the ways in which Holy Spirit would reach us. And we do not want to make one way, A Course in Miracles, or any other way special, and say this is it, and everything else is wrong or bad or a waste of my time or shouldn't be in this room. Theo 13, is that my friend Teddy or is that a different Teddy? I say, who is Teddy? I don't know who Theo 13 is. I don't think it's my friend Teddy, but shh. Well, I mean, not the friend that I've been to his house and ate dinner, that type of friend, you know? I thought Theo 13 was somebody different, but no, it's my friend Teddy. So what's Teddy doing tonight then? Just being, what are you being, Teddy? What are you being, Teddy? So Theo 13 is Teddy. Teddy is being Teddy, yeah. Teddy Poppy, I guess he is. But as I was saying, I wouldn't want to make A Course in Miracles special. And I wouldn't want to make NTI special. And I wouldn't want to make Eckhart Tolle special or Regina Don Acre special or Teddy special or anything else special. Because when we make something special, we put up a block to every other way that the Holy Spirit is trying to reach us. So, I would never recommend that we change the name of this room. ACIM Gather is a perfect room name. I mean, we all came here through A Course in Miracles. But to have the idea that only A Course in Miracles should be spoken here is to have the idea that we want to limit the ways in which Holy Spirit can help us. And I personally have no interest in that. And I know my friend Teddy doesn't either. Huh, Theo? 13. Disguising himself, tricking me. There's just no way. So what I'm going to do is just let go of the mic and see if anybody else has anything they want to share. Yes, Sharon is back.
Yeah, I just want to ask you, I just looked up The Little Buddha. Do you have other movies that you can suggest? You know, it's like, you know, we're not even in this control thing. We're in spirit. So wherever spirit guides me, and that's what I do now. It's amazing, though, how attracted I am to your teaching. You know, I get very excited because it is just this wonderful food. And for everyone that teaches, but, you know, each time, like, no one is special. The spirit is the spirit. So I know Zoe wants to go, and I'm going to say thank you. If you can recommend any other movies, I already put Little Buddha down, because I want to just keep feeding myself all this great food. Thank you.
Yeah, there are a lot of good movies, but if I was to name the top four that have been most helpful to me, Little Buddha, which you have, Revolver, which Melissa has written down, Revolver. I will warn you that Revolver is extremely bloody, but it may be the best and most helpful movie I've ever watched to help me let go of the ego. And in fact, if you want to go to reginadonacres.com and go to the page called Teachings, then you will see a teaching on that page called The Revolver in My Mind, or something like that. And you could listen to The Revolver in My Mind and then watch the film, and it will be extremely helpful. Also, Dove is recommending that you watch The Editor's Cut, which I also watched, and that's helpful. So in spite of the fact that it's one of the most violent movies I've ever watched, it's very good. Another really good movie is A Beautiful Mind. A Beautiful Mind is extremely helpful in teaching us how to let go of the ego. I've seen it several times. And then the fourth movie that I've watched where different scenes pop up for me is Peaceful Warrior. Now, the reason I say that those four movies are the most helpful is because although there are a number of other movies, and I'll tell you where you can get a whole list of movies in a second, but although there are a number of other movies that are really, really good, it seems like there'll be a time, there'll be something in my own life is being difficult, and a scene from one of those four movies will literally pop into my mind to help me. And those four movies, again, are Little Buddha, Guy Ritchie's Revolver. It's called Revolver, but Guy Ritchie is the director. I guess there is another Revolver that is not made by Guy Ritchie, so you want to make sure you get the Guy Ritchie one. Guy Ritchie's Revolver, Ron Howard's A Beautiful Mind, and then, of course, the story of Dan Millman. Oh, yeah, Father, Son, Sister Moon is good, too, but I don't think it pops into my mind as much. There's a lot of movies I love. Yeah, Joe Dirt. Joe Dirt was also helpful. But I think these four are the four that pop into my mind the most. The fourth movie was Peaceful Warrior. So now there's a whole bunch of movies that are useful. And in fact, a great place to find a list of a lot of useful movies is David Hoffmeister's website. That would be www.awakening-mind.com. Right? www.awakening-mind.com. And if you look on his little menu there on the left, you will see a place for the Movie Watcher's Guide. And if you just click on the Movie Watcher's Guide, there's a lot of information there about a lot of movies that are very good. I noticed someone has just mentioned The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. That is another good one. In fact, I have it upstairs rented and ready to watch with people here in the house. I'm right now going through the Movie Watcher's Guide with the people who are staying here in Pueblo, and that's the next movie on our agenda. I said that like a Bostonian. Did you hear me? Agenda. That's how you people in Boston talk, isn't it? But yeah, The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is the next film we're going to watch. Being there with all these movies that people are listing are all on David Hoffmeister's Movie Watcher's Guide. So I highly recommend the Movie Watcher's Guide from awakeningmind.com, or it might be .org, I don't remember. Does anybody know if I got the .com right? Okay, it looks like I'm almost out of time. I'm very thirsty. I forgot to come down with a glass of water like I usually do, so I've been talking for an hour and 15 minutes without a sip, and my goodness, I'm thirsty. Zoe, I do have 2 minutes left. What the heck did you want? Zoe, are you still here? Okay, maybe Zoe left. I wanted to give her the mic because I saw that she had her hand up a bit ago, but maybe she has left. What's the link for the movies? Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let go of the mic. Actually, I don't think there is a direct link to the Movie Watcher's Guide, unfortunately. The way that website is set up, there's not a direct link to specific pages, so you have to go to awakening-mind.com or .org, whichever it is, and then look on the left-hand menu for the Movie Watcher's Guide. But if you go there, it's .org, just be as saying. So it's www.awakening-mind.org. Thank you, B. And then look for the Movie Watcher's Guide. And it's like I said, it's extremely helpful. It's a lot of fun to watch movies, but more than that, those scenes that are most helpful will pop into our mind just when we need them. It's only one more way that Holy Spirit speaks to us. So there you go. All right, I'm going to go find something to drink. Love you guys. Oh, somebody, Colleen just gave what she says is a direct link, if you guys want to click on the link that Colleen has just given. Okay, bye everyone.